Blog Talk Radio.
Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That, this begins the purpose clause, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now notice the verb is that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Please note in Romans 6, Paul states that the cross broke the power of sin. When Jesus died in 33 AD on the cross, believers also experienced a co-crucifixion. We were baptized with him into death, and there was a co-burial. And notice in verse 4, a co-resurrection with Christ. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, now the adjective old that modifies the word, the noun man, is paleos. And we get our word paleontology from this word. It means that which is of old or of long duration. So our old man is crucified with him. Please understand that we are discussing at this point positional truths, powerful realities that happen to you and I after salvation, but which we do not experience. But they are nevertheless powerful realities that are at once at work in our lives. Truth. Our position has been changed. We are no longer dead in trespasses and sin. We are in Christ. We have God's own life that has been given to us through the power of the indwelling spirit. The indwelling spirit or the Holy Spirit is not a benign presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a very powerful reality. And so we are told that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That is, new and that is qualitatively new. We have been given a qualitatively new life in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul says that you and I have also received a new young mind that never grows old. Eternal life is a marvelous present tense reality in Christ. When you and I were saved, not only did we receive peace with God, but we were given God's own peace, the peace of God, peace with God and the peace of God. Irene, God's own eternal peace. We are balanced in Christ. We have a standing in Christ, an eternal standing. Now notice, at this point we have discussed positional truths, but then when we turn back to Matthew chapter 17, excuse me, we read these words. And this is Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, the cosmos, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so the chapter 16 ends at verse 28, and it actually should not. Chapter 17 should not, there should not be that division. Verse 28 of chapter 16 should be actually the chapter should go on, because then in chapter 17 verse 1, then it goes into the Mount of Transfiguration, and then Jesus showed outwardly who he was inwardly. He was transfigured before his disciples. But I want you to note something very important. We have discussed positional truths, and noted this doctrine of discipleship has been mostly lost in the Western church. And Jesus says in verse 24, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, in Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. The word I is the Greek word ego. Paul's ego was crucified with Christ. And then Paul writes, nevertheless, I live. The real Paul, the essence of Paul. Yet not I, but Christ liveth. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul understands discipleship. We need to meditate on the words of Paul. We need to meditate on Galatians 2:20. We need to meditate on Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's no place for narcissism. There's no place for selfishness in following Jesus. He is the model of selflessness. And so if one is going to follow Jesus and take up his cross, one must understand selflessness is mandated. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Without this step, there can be no step two. That is, taking up the cross, and then step three, to follow Jesus. There's no veneer here. This is where mediocrity comes into the faith. This is what Soren Kierkegaard calls the halt. There are those who say, I can follow Jesus up to this point and then no more, because now he demands something that I am unwilling to give. This is the halt. But it is that this is the halt brings us to the boundary of our self life. And one cannot kick up his cross if one is unwilling to forego narcissism or selfishness. The way of pride must be set away, must be gone. There is no prideful taking up of the cross. That is an existential contradiction. To take up the cross means that one picks up a new identity as a cross bearer. And then to follow Jesus. Present imperative. To deny oneself is the beginning. And note what Paul says, that we are crucified with Christ. And note, Paul also states that the old man died, the old man passed away. This is what gets in our way. This is what makes us getting our own way when we do not understand that to follow Christ means to surrender the ego and its demands and its lust and its anger, its jealousies, its anxiety, demands for recognition. Because to follow Christ means that one is identifying with who he is. Jesus is the incarnation of the love of God. He is the Logos. One identifies with who Jesus is. The cross is a way of suffering. As God shapes us by his word and his will into conformity with the image of his Son, this is what discipleship is about. To be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. In Romans 8, Paul says that we are already glorified. But this is our ultimate mandate, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to grow in Christ's likeness through discipleship. And so God wins us from ourselves that he might give us eternal glory, that you and I might experience the weight of glory that he has brought into this world through the work of his wonderful Son, Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Make the decision to follow Jesus, and life will be wonderful. Good afternoon. My name is Desiree. God bless you.